following message was recorded at Faith Fellowship, St. Pete, in St. Petersburg, Florida. More information about Faith Fellowship can be found at faithfellowshipstpete.org.
Good morning. We are so thankful you're joining us online today. As the weather permits, we will be holding our in-person outdoor Sunday celebrations at 9:30 a.m. Until we are able to meet back together, we will be providing the Sunday messages online as well. Our in-person Sunday celebrations will be family style. This means families and households, including children, will sit together. We will be practicing 6-foot distancing, and we will have masks on hand for those who would like one. Our new creation, Children's Church Weekly Gospel for Kids videos and lessons, will be continued to be uploaded and available on Saturday so that you have time to prepare in advance to share each week's lesson with your children. You can access the weekly sermon with notes as early as 7 a.m. on Sunday mornings. If you have an underlying medical condition or fall within the age group listed as most at risk by the CDC, we encourage you to continue joining us online for our Sunday celebrations. For those who are interested in participating in a life group this season, join us outside at Northwest Park at 6:46 p.m. for the Centerpoint Life Group hosted by Pastor Colin, which will meet next Wednesday and then take a short break until Labor Day. Our church website continues to be the best place for you to visit for updates, online giving, and frequently asked questions. Please be in prayer for us as we journey through this season together in the Lord. We would love for you to fill out an online connection card and let us know how we can be in prayer for you. Thank you for tuning into this week's announcements. I hope you have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Well, we are continuing in our series through 1 Peter, and this week brings us to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and we're going to go through this text, which follows on the heels of 1 Peter 4, which was about suffering for Christ. We heard an excellent sermon about the blessedness and nobility of the believer when they're in the midst of suffering. But this week, we're going to be covering a passage of scripture that is specifically directed toward the leadership of the church, that is the elders, and we'll be going into that. But before we get into the text, let's open our time in a word of prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the wisdom that comes to us through your Spirit in interpreting your word and applying your word. Lord, I pray that you would help me as I teach from your holy and infallible word, that I would faithfully handle the scriptures and that I would do this in a way that is consistent with your love for the sheep, Lord. And God, we pray these things in your precious and holy name. Amen. So I want to begin by reading the passage and then we'll get into the verses. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 5 reads, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." So as we approach this passage of scripture, we see that Peter turns his attention to the leadership of the church. And he wants to address the elders. Now, not everybody may be familiar with the term elder, and essentially what that term means is a pastor. An elder is a pastor, and it's one of the offices that's described in the New Testament. Now, the term pastor is only used once in the New Testament. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 11 says, "He gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers." And shepherds there is where we get our word pastor. Some translations even say pastor. And it comes from the Old Testament, which is the same word for shepherds, and it had the idea of somebody who was a leader or had leadership over the people. And the people were compared with sheep. It was a very familiar imagery in the minds of those who would have been Israelites in the Old Testament, the idea of a shepherd and somebody who is taking care of sheep. And the word elder, it does mean older. It's where we get the term Presbyterian. But it doesn't necessarily mean older in this context. It's interchangeable with the word overseer, which is also translated bishop. So this is not an age thing. This is an office of the church, like deacon. We have deacon and elder, or pastor. And he goes on to exhort the leadership of the church, represented by the elders. And he exhorts them, meaning he admonishes them. He's encouraging them. He's teaching them. He's teaching them the truth about the reality of this office. And this is an authoritative call. And Peter, the apostle Peter here, he approaches this with such humility because he appeals to them as a fellow elder. He wants to reach out to them on the same level, relating to them, saying, hey, I know what this is like because I'm one of you guys. I'm one of you, but he's an apostle. And he hints at that when he says, as a witness, as one who is a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Such a humble and gentle way of reminding them that he isn't just another pastor, but he's an apostle who is given the authority to appoint elders, to teach elders, to train elders. Titus 1:5, we see that Paul has the authority to appoint elders. Titus was left in Crete. He says, for this very reason, I left you in Crete to set what remained in order and to appoint elders in every town. This is apostolic authority that Peter has and that Paul had. And that Titus had. These men had the ability to teach elders. But biblically, what constitutes the leadership of the church? The elders are addressed throughout the New Testament as the leaders of the church. And this is considered an actual office, and we know this because of Titus 1:5 through 9. It gives the qualifications of an elder in that passage. It uses the term overseer. And then 1 Timothy 3:1 through 7, qualifications of an elder. But what does it mean to be an elder? What does that entail? What are they supposed to do? Elders, as leaders of the church, they take responsibility for the things they take responsibility for the leadership of the church as a group of individuals. They're not an individual. They're a group of individuals, and is always referred to as a group of men. They're responsible for things like church discipline, the word of God and prayer, Acts 6, teaching, preaching, and rebuking, Titus 1:9, watching out for false teachers, Acts 20, 28 through 31, and the doctrinal positions of the church, Titus 1:9, Acts 15, chapter 6. Praying for the sick, James 5:14. So all these things incorporate this idea of a leadership that has spiritual responsibility over a local expression of a church. They're the pastors. He says elders among you. He's talking about the elders who have been recognized by that specific local body. They're an elder in this church. So if an elder in this church goes over to Central or Gulf Coast Church or local church or one of these other churches that are these wonderful churches that are in the area, and they try to exercise authority over that church, that doesn't really work. It's a local position to a particular people, to a particular flock of a local church. They're confirmed by the laying on of hands. We see this in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14 and 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 22. It says not to hastily lay hands on anyone, giving us the idea that this is a normal thing. Deacons get hands laid on them as well. Acts 6:6. Acts 13:3, we see same thing with missionaries. It's a commissioning. It's a recognizing so that everybody in the church knows who the leadership is and they are commissioned to the flock for the purpose of oversight. Now, Peter goes on to teach what that should look like. So I'll read verses 2-3. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flocks, to the flock. The command is to shepherd the flock. And I love the imagery of a shepherd. Because what do you think about when you think of a shepherd? Don't you picture somebody who's kind and understanding? Somebody who's wise and strong? A fatherly role? It conjures the feeling of safety and comfort and reliance. That's the way a shepherd is with the sheep. And they follow him. Like in John chapter 10, verse 27, the good shepherd. Jesus talks about how the sheep hear his voice and they follow him. Sheep are very weak. They'll just follow the sheep in front of them. They need shepherding. They need guidance. It's described as exercising oversight. It goes well with the idea of shepherding because it has the idea, that word has the idea of being carefully watchful. Titus 1:9 that I mentioned before, I'll read it here. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. The focus is on the word of God and protecting those against false teachers. Acts chapter 20, verse 28-31. I'll read this as well because it's such a perfect passage for this. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock. By the way, this is Paul addressing the leadership of the church of Ephesus, the elders in that church. He had one last meeting with them before he went to Jerusalem, and he knew he would never see them again. And this is what he says to them. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. This is the job of an elder, to shepherd the flock, to protect the flock. And we'll get on to, we'll talk a little bit more about that later in the application, but I want to move on to what I think is the main drive of this passage, because Peter doesn't teach all that in this particular passage. It's just background. All that is kind of assumed. What Peter is doing here in this particular passage is getting to the heart of the way in which an elder is to go about doing those things. They're to have a particular heart posture toward the office of being an elder. So what he says, first of all, is that they should be willing. It's the idea of a wholehearted enthusiasm. This doesn't mean that an elder always feels like being an elder, because there may be hard days. We don't just go on our feelings, right? There may be really tough times and things that happen in the life of a man who takes on the role of an elder that may at times tempt him to quit, to throw in the towel. But an elder who is walking properly is to have a heart of willingness. And what that really means is a submission to the call of God. For some, radical submission is the submission to his call on your life as an elder, and to submit to that willingly. God gives you that desire. It isn't something that you have to stir up in yourself, but you still must choose to walk in that willingness that God is giving you. That brings me to the second directive, and that is, as God would have you, which literally means according to God, that is, it's in the will of God. It's a calling of God. He's giving you the willingness because he's put that call on your life. And the Spirit of God that dwells within you is testifying to your soul that this is what he wants you to do. Even in the face of possibly opposition, especially of an accusing enemy that will whisper in your ear, you're not good enough. Or, you could never do that, you're not perfect. Or, you don't want to do that, it's too hard. Nobody will listen to you. You know, all the things that the enemy will do to discourage you. The third directive that Peter talks about here is being examples to the flock. Elders are to be the type of men that can model obedience to Christ in his most important teachings. To love God with everything that is in them, and to love your neighbor as yourself. To walk in faith and humility in the fruit of the Spirit. They're not just leading by telling people what to do. They're modeling it. This is the type of person. This is the way an elder ought to be. This is the instruction from the Apostle Peter on how to go about shepherding the flock. How not to. He has three parallel injunctions against a certain attitude, and that is unwilling. That is, you shouldn't be doing it with an attitude like, oh, I've got to do this. There should be not by, the word there means by force or constrain. That could happen where somebody has to force themselves to do it because they have the wrong attitude, or sometimes they may be, they may feel pressured into a role that they are not, they don't feel is suited to them. They don't feel qualified or called or have the attributes that make sense to serve in that capacity. They don't have the inward call, and yet somehow they feel constrained. But 1 Timothy 3:1 anticipates that there would be those men who desire the work, that desire the task. It should be those men who are pursuing it and those men who are in that office. Not unwillingly. For shameful gain. Some translations have it sordid gain. Some translations say filthy lucre. It's the King James Version. This word carries with it the idea of something that's twisted and distorted. There's something not quite right. Instead of a simple call to the ministry, they've got other motives mixed in. Money. Right? There's the extreme version of that, of the health and wealth gospel with rich pastors and so forth, but some people could do it for the money and it's not quite to that extreme. They still have that kind of love of money that's pushing them to serve. It's not to be about that. It's not to be about the money, but there's other things that somebody could do for shameful gain. For instance, they may want the attention. They may want the influence or the power. Maybe they like the title. Maybe they have some kind of twisted idea that they're not really a great Christian until they, right? These kind of bad motives, that's not to be the motive for being an elder. An elder is not to serve for shameful gain. It's not to be for what you get. It's for what you can give. And then the third is not domineering over the flock, being overbearing. Right? Somebody who's gentle. The word there, it has the idea of bringing someone under one's own power to subdue or exercise lordship over. An elder is somebody who is taking leadership on them for the good of others, not for the control of others. You can see this in some styles of leadership that becomes imperious or bossy or commanding or pushy. Or somebody forces people to do what they think is right. Somebody who's taking charge over things that don't really have to do with spiritual matters. They're trying to kind of control the decisions that you make outside of church that have nothing to do with spirituality. All these things can be a temptation for certain temperaments where people find themselves in the role of an elder and they have a craving for control over others. They're to resist that temptation and not be domineering. So this is the teaching of the Apostle Peter. And he goes on in verse 4, and he says, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. This is the encouragement that we have. Those of you who are elders, the Apostle Peter would encourage you by saying that when Jesus appears, who's the chief shepherd, and elders, those of you who are elders are under shepherds, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. This is the Amplified speaks of this as like the crown of glory that is the conqueror's crown. Within the culture, the cultural context of a Roman society, that crown was given as a wreath of olive branches that was placed upon the victor's head, Olympics and so forth. And in the context, perhaps, of military conquering, when a general would return, the Apostle Peter wants to encourage you who are elders that this role comes with a promise of a reward on that last day. Matthew 25, verses 45 through 47 speaks of this. Christ's teachings. He says, who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. He's talking to leadership here. He says, whom his master has set over his household, leadership, to give them their food at the proper time. The word of God is our food, right? So those who are elders have been entrusted with this responsibility, and when they serve well and the master returns and he finds us well-doing, he will set him over all his possessions. He's inviting you elders into this leadership and governing over his possessions. And it's so important for elders to be encouraged because the work is challenging and can be discouraging at times. It can involve suffering and self-sacrifice. And the target of the enemy only grows as the elder grows in this and becomes and grows in this grace. The target on the elder's back just grows larger and larger. They continually sacrifice their own comfort for the good of the sheep, like any good shepherd would. In verse 5, Peter says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This word young can be translated babies or young, or it can also be translated simply new, as in new to the church, new to the faith. Peter wants to admonish or exhort those who are new to particularly be subject to the elders, to be submissive. The word here is hupotasso, which is the same word as wives submitting to their husbands. It's a military term of ranking oneself under the command of a leader. And Peter isn't trying to call out particularly those who are new. He knows that those who are new are particularly subject to deception and to falling into sin, and that those people who are new are to be particularly careful to remain submissive to the teachings of the elders so that they're safe. Notice the way in which we are all supposed to be relating to one another. Through humility, right? Those who are new could seek out counsel and discipleship from the elders, right? To show their submission. Those who are young are to be humble, but also the elders are to be humble. He says, all of you. And then he quotes from Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 34. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Peter is highlighting the fact that God has always been displeased with those who are a proud mindset. Those who are not submissive must repent of that and learn to be submissive to leaders, and leaders must learn to repent of this and learn not to be domineering. So just a few points of application. What are we to do with this? It's an excellent teaching, isn't it? But what are we to do? How are we to be admonished as faith fellowship as we approach this faith fellowship, the church? How are we to approach? What are we supposed to take away from this? What is the role of an elder? I think, first of all, we should reverence the role of an elder. Both elders and people who are not elders, those under the authority of elders, both must reverence this role and not seek to downplay or to rebel against authority or dismiss it, but to realize that the authority is put there for our safety. It's put there for our good. As an elder, what that means is being diligent. As an elder, are you diligent or lazy? Are you bold or timid? Are you full of prayer or not so much? Are you studying to show yourself approved, or are you doing the bare minimum, right? Obviously, as elders, you should be fully attentive to God's word. Hebrews 13:17, it says, obey the leaders that submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Patience, humility, kindness, like a parent. Not pounding things and exasperating people, but entreating people like a father. Almost all major failures I've seen in churches have been failures of leadership, and it's always almost always a failure to love. So always a failure to shepherd. But secondly, what is your job as an elder? It's to shepherd. So shepherding, continuing with the idea of the illustration of the shepherd, it's about protection and guidance. A lion's strategy when it comes against the flock is to create confusion in the flock, to divide the flock, to isolate the members, those that are young, those that are sick. Another strategy of the enemy is to turn the shepherd against the sheep and the sheep against the shepherd. Well, how is this done? Primarily, I mean, we already talked about the example, right? There's also counseling. There's also weeping with those who weep and prayer. But mostly, it's the exhortation and application of God's word by which the elders protect and shepherd the flock. What about those elders who are not necessarily on the teaching team? Well, maybe they will be. Maybe they'll exercise their teaching within a small group. Teaching isn't just from a pulpit. It can be one-on-one. It can be in small groups. The elders, though, are held responsible for the church and keeping the flock safe. What is our job, those of us who are not elders? Our job is to obey and to submit. Again, Hebrews 13:17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Do you cause your elders to groan? That's not what we're supposed to be doing, right? Submission gives them such joy because they know that you're being obedient and there's such safety in that. They can rest easy, not because, oh, you know, they don't have to worry about their authority being challenged. No, they're resting easy because they know that your soul is being submissive to the word of God and that there's such safety in that from the enemy, from the world, from the flesh. What about those who want to be elders, though? Do you want to be an elder? Ask yourself this question. Is it for the status and the authority or some other reason, the money or something? Because you have to ask yourself, are my motives pure? You have to ask yourself, am I really called? It's not enough to just think you're called. Those gifts have to be recognized by the congregation and by the leadership of the church. If you're not called, then there's freedom in that as well, because our identity is not wrapped up in our title or our calling. You know that your identity is wrapped up in your title or your calling if there's an impatience or frustration in not being something, being called something. We're free from that. Because if we're called, we know that that testimony will be clear to our hearts and to the hearts of a local body. Encouragement, though. Encouragement is, if you aspire to the office, you're aspiring to something good. Just the fact that if it's of a pure motive, then the fact that that's in your heart is a testimony that you may be called to the office just right there. It's also a testimony that your heart cares about other people. If your motives are pure, that's a testimony that you care about the word of God. 1 Timothy 3:1 teaches that those who aspire to that office aspire a noble task. If you feel this, and Pastor Colin encouraged me to say this, And I think it's fantastic. Approach one of the elders. Approach one of the elders and make your desires known. Make it known that you aspire to that calling so that it's known, so that you can begin to be evaluated to see if you have the gifts of the elder to begin to evaluate whether you're being called into the eldership. And almost all the qualifications, if you look at them, they're character. They're not about task. You don't have to be some eminently talented, innately talented individual. You just have to be called. You just have to be called. God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. So there's such encouragement in that, isn't there? And then finally, just one more encouragement. We've already touched on this, but I want to touch on it again because I think it's so important. The encouragement for the elders. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory. When an athlete would win in the Olympics, they would win a crown made out of olive leaves and it would fade. But the image here is a crown that will never fade. I imagine it looking like a Roman olive leaf, but the leaves are made out of like pure gold, you know, just thin little leaves that will never ever fade. And when we see him on that day, our impulse is not going to be to wear crowns to show off our crowns, but the impulse is going to be to cast those crowns cast those crowns before the feet of our King Jesus. To show our adoration to him. The impulse will be to cast something, and won't it be great for those of us who are given rewards to have something to cast? And we know that when elders, when they serve well, they're going to have something. They're going to have a legacy and a crown. Preach the word. That crown comes through faithfulness to preaching the word. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead. And by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time will come when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. What's the difference between preaching and teaching? Teaching is informational. Preaching involves exhortation. Somebody who is called to the eldership is certainly called to teach, but they are called to exhortation. That is the application of the word of God. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. But I want to go on and just read a little bit more, because he goes to the, it's almost a parallel passage about the crown. Paul continues with Timothy in verse 6 through 8. He says, For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who love his appearing. You see, Paul's come to the end of his life, and there's such closure, because it's at the end of a life of faithful ministry. He has completed his ministry. He has fought the good fight. He has finished the race. He has kept the faith. And for those who are elders who come to the end of their life and can say that, they can say with Paul, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. This is an encouragement, isn't it? It's an encouragement to honor the role, to seek the role, and to be encouraged within the role if you're an elder. And if you aspire to the role, to seek that role. And if you're not in that role, to submit and to honor and to venerate that role as something ordained by God for the benefit of his church. I'm going to just close us in prayer. Our Lord and Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you so much for your care for your flock, that you have given us this gift of this office. We pray that we would honor that office, and that we would respect that office with reverence, that we would submit, that we would be encouraged, Lord. And we praise you for that. We praise you for elders being called into the ministry. We thank you for that, Lord. And we pray these things in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Faith Fellowship, St. Pete, in St. Petersburg, Florida. More information about Faith Fellowship can be found at faithfellowshipstpete.org.